Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's The Sweet Spot, Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Looking back on a wonderful week of golf, really was captivating stuff. And most importantly, looking ahead to one of the big weeks on the European Tour, the BMW PGA at Wentworth. Hopefully Steve has got a few nuggets for us there. Steve, looking mighty fine there with your product in your hair. What's going on here? Midlife crisis?
Thank you, Bruce. Yeah. The wife bought me some product. She saw I wasn't, I didn't have any product available, and she got this one. But it's a bit wet look, isn't it? I look a bit like that fella out the in-betweeners, Simon out the in-betweeners.
Yeah. Well, it's not very symmetrical, is it? On the one half of your face, it's kind of sticking up. And on the other half, it kind of goes diagonally down towards your ear.
I'm having a bad hair day, Bruce. Yeah. I haven't quite adjusted to this new gel product yet. I'll try and do better next week.
No, I think it's good. It's not years off you. I tell you what, the golf last week, not years off me. I managed to back the second in both tournaments and indeed also the Simon Cup as well. I mean, there's only two runners in that. So it was a bit of a frustrating week from a betting point of view, but it's really interesting. I thought it was a fascinating week. Where should we start? Which tournament do you want to look at first?
Well, let's take them all under the same umbrella. I mean, I woke up on Sunday morning full of optimism. I thought Victor Perez might win the Italian Open. He was only four shots behind going into that final round. Then he was four over par for his first four holes of round four. He three putted from 4 feet on the second hole.
He did not. I mean, not even I can do that. That's ludicrous.
Well, I was trying to explain it to Grace because I think she's 4 feet tall. I said a professional golfer has taken three putts to cover the height of you. And she couldn't get her head around it. I couldn't get her head around it.
No, surprised.
So, the Italian Open was obviously a complete disaster. I mean, we back a Hogarth brother every week. On this podcast that we were
tell
on
us
Razzle.
What happened there, because Nicolai, you know, the first you knew he was playing was when he popped up on the leaderboard. What went on there?
Yeah, it was a late invite, a late sponsor's invite. So I guess the player that they originally had in mind for the invite didn't fancy it. He was invited on Monday night. He didn't get to Italy until Tuesday night. And then bookmakers, by the time the European Tour website let us know, they're quite slow on their website. The bookmakers didn't have time to price them up before it started. So, the Hogarth brothers are giving me nightmares at the moment.
You discovered them, didn't you? But you just haven't been able to pinpoint the week in which they're going to win, have you?
That's it. It's all about timing. It's all about timing in this game. And, we backed the wrong Hogarth brother last week. They've got a big future. I still think Rasmus is the better of the two. Certainly in interviews. Did you see Nicolai's post-win interview?
No, I saw one. I think it was either during the round or before the... No, I think it was after the third round. And he was very mechanical and boring and just wanted to concentrate on hitting every shot well. Oh, my goodness, mate.
Well, he hyped it up after winning with a profanity. You know, stunned,
oh, did he?
Yeah, stunned the interviewer just
what
out of nowhere.
What did he begin with?
During that robotic process, an F-bomb was dropped.
Oh, my goodness.
Came out of nowhere just to express his emotions, his up-and-down emotions. They're both going to be winning lots of tournaments, but hopefully Nicolai can tighten up his interview game.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't expect that because he was so deliberate in the one I saw. Let's talk Tommy Fleetwood. I jumped on the Fleetwood bandwagon at halfway. I thought, this is his week, but... smash one into the water. It was never quite happening, was it? There was a time a year or two ago where we thought Tommy Fleetwood was going to step up to the elite level, but it hasn't quite happened for him, has it? Why is that?
Been a very frustrating period for his backers. I mean, the 2019 Nedbank Challenge seemed a long time ago. That's his last victory. And you're right. He had little to beat on Sunday, really. He's going up against two maidens over those closing holes. Nicolai Hogarth, in that controversial interview, admitted to being really nervous over those last few holes. He was shaking over the putts. He said, he was there for the taking. Adrian Meronk, we're still waiting for Adrian Meronk to become the first pole in history to win on the European Tour. Meronk just was on the par train to the high. He was, again, a bag of nerves. Tommy Fleetwood, he's bags of experience. He should be getting the job done there. Just a wild slice drive on the 16th. It must have crushed you. and then, you know, lost by a shot. I mean, yeah, he was dancing around on the green birdie in the last, but, you know, if he passed 16, he's in the playoff against a very, very nervous Nikolai Højgaard.
Okay. Anyone else catch your eye over there in Italy? Nice course, isn't it? That's going to host the 2023 Ryder Cup, so that will be good, won't it?
Yeah. The Marco Simone, a lot more open than in the days when your Jamie Spence's played it. And remember, I was trying to get some clues off him. I think they've completely transformed the course. Yeah, lots of risk and reward holes now. So yeah, I think we're in for an exciting Ryder Cup in 2023. The two players that impressed me the most are in my staking plan for the BMW Championship. We'll get onto that.
We'll hold fire on that. Now let's talk that. America, shall we? Patrick Cantlay started off with the biggest handicap, and he converted that into a victory over Big Johnny Rahm. I mean, this whole, before we look at the actual individuals, the concept of this tournament is slightly, I mean, I get that they want to create something a little bit meritocratic, if that's a word, where, you know, they want to reward people who've done well in the lead up to it, but it does lead to these one stroke two horse races if we're not careful, doesn't it?
Well, the PGA Tour are very fortunate that John Rahm played so well, because you know, if John Rahm hadn't played well, you would have had a Patrick Cantlay procession that would have been so dull. And you know, this format does lend itself to potentially really, really dull Sundays. I mean, I was expressing my love for it last week, but that was more sort of selfish betting related love, because I thought it presented a good John Rahm opportunity. And in the previous year, I backed Dustin Johnson, and that felt like the easiest winner I'd ever had. As a neutral, which I haven't been for about 25 years, the format is lacking, isn't it? Because in terms of fairness, I mean, John Rahm, you know, he's not going to win Player of the Year now because Patrick Cantlay's played well in this little spurt. John Rahm outscored him by 3 shots last week.
Was it 3? Oh, he got John 4 Rahm, to John, start with it. He got four shots. He gave him 4 shots.
John Rahm. So John Rahm beat him by 3 in the Tour Championship. He beat him in the Northern Trust. So in 2 of the 3 playoff events, John Rahm's outscored him. He's the US Open champion. And Cantlay gets the $50 million pot for time in his run. So I don't know. Yeah, there are issues with the format. You could question the fairness.
He should spend some of that money on a smiling lesson, shouldn't he? He's very dour, isn't he, Patrick Cantlay? I mean, fair play to him. He's not here to, you know, he's not a comedian and a golfer. He's a damn good golfer. In fact, he's turning into an absolutely ruthless closer, isn't he? But
it was impressive. It was really impressive. I mean, I can hardly say anything. I was struggling for a smile on Sunday. I mean, I tuned into that drama straight after. I'd recorded it. You like that vigil?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Mind you. I tell you what, though, I mean, you sneeze and you miss some key dialogue, don't you? Don't take your eye off it. I mean, I actually had that on while the golf was on.
You mixed the two, did you?
I was missing out on both. It was absolutely hopeless. So I knocked the golf on the head and just focused on vigil. But yeah, it's very good, isn't it?
Well, it was nice to have something to fall back on because I was watching this golf. Very, very stressful, obviously. Yeah. I mean, anyone who followed the advice last week, we said Rahm was an each way steal. They shouldn't have lost money on that if they bet it properly. You know, an each way bet on Rahm, you covered your win, but it was obviously heartbreaking. And then, and afterwards we could all settle down for a bit of vigil. I mean, I actually think last week, I've discussed this before on the podcast, I think there are times, definitely times, where it hurts the punter more than the player. And I think last week was a case of that. I mean, John Rahm picked up $5 million for finishing second. It's not possible to be unhappy for long, is it?
It's not. It's
just won $5 million.
I know.
And there's me, like, you know, just slump watching, you know, submarines. My hope have just been sunk, and now I'm watching submarines. I mean, I definitely, 100%, no questions asked, whatever that means, was more unhappy about John Rahm losing on Sunday than John Rahm.
Well, that's up to you then. Stake less, and then it won't hurt so much, will it, if it loses? That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, there is that, I suppose, yeah.
Don't let betting hurt you. That's the key, Steve.
No, that is the key, yeah. Don't let anything hurt you.
Exactly. We're all lucky in life, so, let's enjoy it. But I do think it's good to switch off and watch things like Vigil. It takes you outside the bubble, doesn't it?
How much do they get paid for working on those submarines? I was thinking that
I was thinking that there's no job I'd less like to do than work on a submarine. Honestly, it'd be awful.
If you did it for 5 years, get earning, you know, $500,000 a year or something. They must
get $500,000 a year for working on a submarine.
I don't know. I mean, it looks like such a horrible life. And then obviously, there's a nuclear reactor waiting to blow up in their face every five. Yeah, you know, I would expect them to get paid a fortune. I just wondered if you knew.
Well, how am I going to know that? How am I going to know what submarine works as well? I will research it, but I
you like to think you know everything.
No, I wouldn't even think the captain's on Half a Million. He wouldn't be on.
Oh, would he not be on Half a Million?
No, of course not.
He was very good in Peep Show. He was you know, brilliant.
Oh, is that was that Johnson in Peep Show?
That's Johnson. Yeah. He slips into Johnson occasionally when he gets angry. Yeah.
Right. Well, anyway, this has turned into Barry Norman, hasn't it? What was that program called? I can't remember that TV review show. But anyway, never mind that. No, Barry Took. I'm getting all mixed up. Let's get back to golf. We've done the US. Oh, have you got something else? Oh, Solheim Cup. I mean, did you enjoy Solheim that? What a Monday night bonus that was, wasn't it?
It was. I went to bed when Matilda held that decisive putt. I was pleased for Matilda, but I wasn't pleased for USA backers. I mean, it was a bit of a choke early on, wasn't it? The occasion seemed to daunt them. I thought having 99% of the crowd on their side would help them, but it seemed to, put the Americans into their shell a bit. They went 3 points behind really early and then, never recovered. Leona Maguire, a podcast regular lately, was the absolute star, wasn't she? 4.5 points.
Tremendous.
4.5 points from 5 matches for a rookie. First Irish lady ever to play in the Solheim. So, I was pleased for Leona Maguire. I was devastated for USA backers. And then that final singles match had a fascinating dynamic. I don't know whether you were following that.
No, I zoned out after that. What happened then? Did she hold on the European girl?
Yeah, but you had that was Emily Pedersen, and Emily Pedersen's boyfriend was Daniel Kang's caddy.
That's right.
What an awkward atmosphere that must be. Yeah. I mean, Daniel Kang must have been questioning every club she was given. Who does that caddy want to win? His long-time
amazing,
girlfriend,
isn't it? Yeah.
Or his player. I mean, I would assume he'd want his girlfriend to win. Therefore, give bum information to Daniel Kang. I'm sure, maybe he's too professional for that, but
I think he would be. You've got to be in this game, haven't you? And also, Pedersen, the girlfriend should understand that the caddy's got a job to do.
Not easy to find an understanding girlfriend.
I guess not, Steve. Right then, that was last week. All done, wasn't it?
That was three tournaments, and a lot of disappointments. But we've only got one tournament this week.
Okay. Let's get stuck into that then, shall we?
An absolute beauty.
It certainly is. It's the BMW Championship at Wentworth, the flagship event on the European Tour, whatever that means. And let's go through a show of betting just to show you just how good it is. Victor Hovland, favourite, round about 10 to 1. Tyrrell Hatton, 16. Shane Lowry, even 16. I keep doing that. Alex Norris, 22. Matt Fitzpatrick, 22. Tommy Fleetwood, 22. Billy Horschel's over, 28. Poulter 30, Scott 30, 33 to 1 bar. What a field. Absolutely brilliant. This is going to be really, really good. Shop around for best prices and best place terms. You excited about this, Steve? You're going on Sunday, aren't you?
Very, very excited about this golf tournament. And then after this golf tournament, we should probably have a Ryder Cup conversation, shouldn't we? Because the American wildcards are selected tomorrow, announced tomorrow.
Oh, are they?
Let's go BMW PGA, then Ryder Cup conversation.
Are we going to have a Ryder Cup conversation?
I think
today?
We should, because I don't see why not. We've only got one tournament. I think that's the right and proper thing to do, as Graham Taylor would say.
Okay, fine. Right then, tell us all about Wentworth. We should know it like the back of our hand by now, shouldn't we? But
well, we should. We've played it many a time, haven't we? I don't like to talk about these wonderful things. I put this on, but as I see, it's a bit too late. My Wentworth garment. I don't think we'll ever play it again because the Chinese have taken over the club, haven't they? And you have to be a millionaire to get access now. You know all about that.
There was a hoo-ha, wasn't there, a few years ago all the members were suddenly told they've got to pay 100 grand a year or something. So
And then it went up even further. The membership dropped from 4,000 to in the low hundreds. Because the fees were so high.
But anyway, who cares? Who's going to win?
Who's going to win?
How many selections have we got first?
Four!
Excellent. Right.
Four selections. The West Course at Wentworth, Virginia Water, Surrey, 7,267 yards, par 72, Harry Colt design, been the venue since 1984. Also staged the World Match Play, of course, from 1964 to 2007. The BMW PGA traditionally in May, it moved to September in 2019. In October last year, back to September this time. Firm and fast conditions, though. Very dry weather in the build-up. We've been talking about the weather forecast before we came on, but it's cloudy, windless skies throughout is what I've got.
Temperatures could be some rain first couple of days, but light.
Light as a feather.
So they'll wear a lightweight, waterproof blues on, won't they, I suppose? They'll be fine.
Lots of blues on.
It's like a sort of lightweight Summer jacket.
Is it? I learn a new word every week when I come on with you. Blues on. That's a cracker. But yeah, temperatures 16 to 22, ranging between 16 and 22. Yeah, four selections. Get your blues ons on and back these four players.
Rightio, which is the one we should be backing with the greatest faith?
Well, absolutely. I think by far the best bet in this tournament, I was tempted to just have one selection. I've got the rest of the field playing for second place, is Shane Lowry 18-1. Ooh. I think Shane Lowry 18-1 is the best bet I've seen all season. I think bookmakers might as well open a without Lowry market because they're going to need one on Sunday. I think Lowry 18-1 is a gift. Lowry adores Wentworth. He relishes this event. He's had 8 top 15 finishes in his last 10 appearances at Wentworth. He was fourth in 2011, runner-up in 2014, sixth in 2015, sixth in 2017. Last year, he arrived at Wentworth having missed three of his previous four cuts. He was also in the process of bedding in some new equipment. So it didn't look good for last year. He still managed to finish 13th. This year, from the Players' Championship onwards, he's looked really good. He was eighth at Sawgrass, ninth in the Heritage, fourth in the USPGA, sixth in the Memorial, 12th in the Open. Decent golf through the first two legs of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Didn't qualify for the Tour Championship. Blessing in disguise. In the time off since the BMW Championship, he became a father for the second time. So it's good job he missed that Tour Championship. He got to be present at the birth. Little baby Ivy arrived about a week ago in Dublin. So Shane's now got two daughters. He's got a four-year-old and a one-week-old. He's been really cheerful in the last few months, I think, even more so now that Ivy has arrived safely. He can follow that, Philip, with another one this week. He can cement qualification for his Ryder Cup debut. It's been his main target all season, getting on that Ryder Cup team. No better way to do that than finally winning the BMW PGA Championship. He's contended numerous times. I fancy him this week to get the job done.
Brilliant. You make a very strong case. It's a nice name, that Ivy. There's a lot of babies being called Ivy, I noticed. Have you definitely drawn stumps on the baby front?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Unless something goes wrong, definitely. Yeah. No, I haven't done any operations yet. I know you were urging me to do a very...
No, I wasn't. That's up to you, mate.
Yeah.
If you had another daughter, would you consider Ivy as a possible name?
I suppose I would. I mean, he's got the I end of his name, isn't it? So Ivy Lowry's obviously got a lovely ring to it, which I guess was why they went for it. No, I'm not sure I'd go for Ivy, but I'm glad he has.
Yeah, it's very nice. Okay, well, hopefully baby Ivy will be very proud of her daddy this week. So yeah. Shane Lowry, the main selection. Who else do you like?
The next best is Henrik Stenson, who has really knuckled down over the last month. He wants a sixth Ryder Cup cap. He's 45 now. He knows he won't get many more chances to play in Ryder Cups.
They grow up so quickly, don't they? 45. Goodness me.
Still a fresh-faced Swede, though.
He looks well for it, doesn't he?
They're ageless, aren't they, the Swedes? You know, just such wonderful skin. They never really get old. And Henrik Stenson, this could be his last Ryder Cup. He said to Patrick Arrington, I'm going to play four European Tour events on the spin, show you what I'm capable of. And the first three of those 4 weeks have been impressive. He's definitely back to form now. The first one was fourth place in the Czech Masters. You wonder whether that was a bit of a flash in the pan. But then he followed up with third in the European Masters. And then last week he was 15th in the Italian Open. Harrington will want to load his team with experience. You know, we basically already know that Ian Poulter and Sergio Garcia, reading between the lines, Poulter and Garcia are going to get two of the picks. So there's one up for grabs. You know, I think Stenson, if he has a strong BMW PGA, could be the man for that job. And the chances of a strong BMW PGA have been helped by an eye-catching caddy booking. Gareth Lord is back on Henrik Stenson's bag. Lordy spent some time with Justin Rose, then briefly with Matt Wallace. He's back with Stenson this week. They were such a force together. They won the Open together in 2016. Yeah, Lordy famously promised to quit smoking if Stenson won a major. I don't know whether he kept to that. But this is a big reunion. I can see him hitting it off straight away. Stenson's got the game. Yeah, it's a firm, fast Wentworth is a tough gig. Stenson can handle it. His first two European Tour wins actually came on Parkland tracks in England. He won at the Woburn and then the Belfry. He's not been a regular starter in this event, but he still managed to finish eighth in 2007, seventh in 2014, third in 2017. And on his last visit, he was 17th in 2019.
And what price is he?
40-1 across the board.
40, jolly good. Right then, so we've got Shane Lowry, we've got Henrik Stenson, and then who?
Two more bigger prices for each way. Yeah, good each way terms this week. I know I like the chances of Richard Bland getting into one of those places.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
Blandy at 66-1. He deserves our respect these days. He's got the monkey off his back in the British Masters in May. Maiden European Tour triumph at the age of 48. There wasn't a dry eye in the belfry as Blandy and Tim Barter embraced. One of the highlights of the season. Blandy is the king of the belfry. Why can't he be the king of Wentworth this week? I can't give you a good answer. He's in the form of his life. He's been buzzing since that win. It's not just been a one-off and then he's faded away. He was third in Denmark on next time out. He co-led the US Open. Do you remember this?
I do remember it. And the US media, I remember they couldn't believe that a man who led the Open at halfway didn't have a sponsored hat.
Yeah, it was astonishing. I mean, he showed great guts. That's Torrey Pines, really difficult golf course, you know, obviously an elite field. So Blandy set the pace at Torrey Pines, and then he was fourth in the Irish Open on his return, 15th in the Scottish Open, third in the Kazoo Classic. Small hiccup at Crowns with a missed cut. Bounced straight back last week with fifth place in the Italian Open. Improved his score each day. Blandy's in the form of his life. And last time he got the chance to play in the BMW PGA was in 2018. Going into that event, he'd missed five cuts in a row. He'd missed eight of his last nine cuts. He was world number 372. Yet he finished 35th. Creditable performance at Wentworth. That was his third best finish of the whole season. I think the modern West course sets up well for Blandy. He's accurate off the tee, churns out greens in regulation. His second best finish of 2013 was 19th place at Wentworth. You know, go Blandy, firm conditions this week. I think he'll love it. I can see a scenario on Sunday. You know, Matt Letitier is his best mate, Blandy's best mate. Yeah, you know, I've got this vision in my head of me, Matt Letitier, and watching the Feeder concert. My family, of course. My family, Matt Letitier, watching Feeder, who are playing on the Sunday night after Blandy's victory, just going absolutely bananas.
God, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? What a lovely dream. You're delivering, you always deliver your tips with great conviction and authority, Steve, and it's always brimming with research, but you're really on form today. You're very convincing.
Wouldn't it be lovely to see Blandy? Thanks, Boo. Wouldn't it be lovely to see Blandy? Would you cry?
I think I probably would, yeah. Particularly, yeah, if Tim Barter goes. I mean, that interview with him and Barter, I'm welling up thinking about it now.
Yeah, me too.
Barter
goes
to him, how are you feeling? And he pulled the hat down below his eyes and goes, next question, I can't answer it. I was blubbing on the sofa. It's pathetic, isn't it? What am I doing? Yeah. Like Tim Barter and Richard Bland, sort of people I would only ever meet in a dentist waiting room. And they're making me cry with their conversation.
Well, imagine if Blandy does the double. You know, British Masters, BMW PGA Championship, the England double. I mean, Matt Letitia would be there this week, I would imagine, because, you know, all the stars come out for the BMW PGA. Matt Letitia might even be playing the Pro-Am for all I know.
Oh,
I bet he is.
Yeah, he'd be a nap for that, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to link up with Matt. I'm going to discuss what an outrage it was that he's only had a handful of England caps. I mean,
it was.
Yeah, it always used to wind me up that we didn't build the side around him. So I'll have that chat with him and then we'll celebrate Blandy's victory while watching the Feeder concert.
Oh, that'll be terrific, won't it? I still don't know any Feeder songs, I don't think.
Oh, they've got a couple of really good ones. If you research the ones with the word feelings in them, they like that word in their song titles. There's a couple of good ones with feelings in them.
I bet they're the sort of band that if you heard a couple of singles, you go, oh yeah, they did that one, did they?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Right, we've got one more selection to come. As if these three beauties weren't enough. Who's the fourth person?
We've got a 125-1 chance, and that is Eduardo Molinari, who from tee to green is hitting this ball like an absolute dream. He says it himself. This year has been the best ball striking of his career, and they are big words when you consider what a good career he's had. He's a former US amateur champion. He's a World Cup winner. He's a Ryder Cup winner. He's a three-time European Tour champion. Molinari in this form can make mincemeat of Wentworth from tee to green. If he putts half decently, I think he'll contend. Putting's been a serious bugbear for Molinari, but there were signs of encouragement in the Italian Open on Sunday. His stroke seemed much more free-flowing. Statistically on Sunday, he was the 14th best putter in the field. He was bogey-free on the back nine. He finished tied fifth alongside Blandy. That took Molinari inside the world's top 300 for the first time in almost 4 years. He's had a lot of injury problems. He's 40 years old now, but he's definitely having a resurgence. He contended in that British Masters that was won by Blandy. He finished eighth in that. He tied second in the European Open, 18th in the Scottish Open. He was really good last week. He got a hole in one last week. Yeah, Molinari's bursting with long game confidence. This is a stiff long game test at Wentworth, and I think he'll come through with flying colours.
Who was it who got the hole in one in America? Was it Harris English? He won a very flash looking motor car, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I watched that and remember thinking his par three performance on the Sunday when we were on him. Do you remember? Two double bogeys on par three. You know, you couldn't do that when we needed it, Harris. But yeah, he's a nice chap. Please for him.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Well, there's some interesting selections. Should we run through the market leaders, Steve? I must admit, I thought you might pin your colours to the Victor Hovland mast, but is he a bit short for your liking?
Yeah, I can't play at that price. You know, I love Victor, but he's just had 3 weeks competing in the FedEx Cup playoffs across the pond. There's a few players in this field that I ruled out in terms of potential mental fatigue. Him and Billy Horshaw, a few others, have played all three FedEx Cup playoff events. And they also have the Korn Ferry Tour finals. They've had 3 weeks on the spin on the Korn Ferry Tour. Your likes of Aaron Rye, Matthias Schwab, playing well. They've secured PGA Tour cards, but how much did it take out of them? Christian Bezuidenhout, another one. He loves Wentworth. I think he could go well, but can he last 72 holes given the exertions in America? So,
Who won the Korn Ferry Tour championship?
Joseph Bramlett. Aaron Rye's got a card now. Bezuidenhout's got a card. Matthias Schwab's got a card. I'll make them all runners for this, but I thought they might have a bit of mental fatigue. Hovland's played once before at Wentworth and finished 11th. The two dangers for me, the two closest to the staking plan that missed out were Alex Noren at 22-1. Alex Noren is the 2017 BMW PGA champion. He was third on his title defense. He's been very lively on the PGA Tour over the last couple of months. Yeah, he was fourth in the Rocket Mortgage Classic, fourth in the Northern Trust, ninth in the BMW Championship. So, yeah, Noren would be the one if you wanted five selections, but I just wanted a proper stake on Lowry because I think he's such a good bet that I've left Noren out. And then Rasmus Højgaard. We can't go through a podcast without mentioning the Højgaards. Rasmus Højgaard, surprisingly big price this week, really, given Højgaard mania's taken over. 50-1 is out there. I could see Rasmus playing well again.
What about Tyrrell Hatton? I mean, there was a point at which, again, as with Fleetwood, it looked like he was going to step up to the next level and dominate. But he's had a bit of an in and out year, hasn't he? 16-1, did that get him onto your radar at any point?
Well, at the start of the year, obviously, he won the Abu Dhabi Championship in fine style. You know, they're much happier days for him and me. You know, that was a great week. We thoroughly enjoyed that. And he moved up to world number five. But then interviews after that, he's almost like he got an inferiority complex about it. Yeah, they started talking to him about it and saying, do you think your world ranking's justified, blah, 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 blah. And he just said, no, I'm nowhere near as good as Dustin Johnson. Yeah, he started naming all the players that were better than him. And it has been like a self-fulfilling prophecy because he's dropped down to world number 17 now.
You would have done a Graham Taylor motivational speech there, wouldn't you, if you'd heard him say that? Come on, Rob, eh? Rise yourself.
I know what he was getting at. It's been pretty nice of him, I suppose, to admit he has got some failings and there's players better than him. I did agree with him, but the world rankings don't lie. They're so good these days. He was world number five at that point. He should have been reveling in it. But he's missed three of his last four cuts coming into this. 17th in the no-cut Memphis WGC has been his best result in the last couple of months. So, yeah, he's been struggling to find top gear. Obviously, defending champion this week, can't rule him out. But, he's not shown enough for me lately.
Okay, and tell us all about your day on Sunday. What time are you going to leave? What have you got planned? Are you going to take a picnic, or are you going to buy the food at the venue? What's the approach? Who's driving? Can you have a tincture or two or not?
I'll certainly be the driver on the way up. Yeah, it's going to be a very long day.
The way up doesn't count. It's all about the way back.
Yeah, it depends what happens, really. I mean, this day's either going to go really well or really badly. It's going to be a long drive up there. Got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're both characters, shall we say. So it's going to be loud. It could be a really happy day. Yeah, if one of those four players wins and we're all dancing to the feeder afterwards, and it could be the greatest day of my life. But if one of the other 140 players wins, then it'd be a long drive back.
What price are the kids to, particularly young Tiger Tommy, to blurt something out? It's quite young, isn't it, to be taking them onto the out just the other side of the ropes when players are playing their shots.
Yeah, I did wonder about that, whether there was an age limit.
I've never seen that. It should be like Thought Park, where there's a bar, and if you're too young, they don't allow you in, just in case you blurt things out.
I did wonder about that. I must admit, I've had some sort of mischievous thoughts about if it's Lowry against Fleetwood, say, going up the last, going find Fleetwood and just start pinching Tommy as he's screaming away and that. But don't worry.
I mean, he watches so much golf. Both your kids watch so much golf. They might think it's de rigueur to shout mashed potatoes. You get in the hole. You wouldn't want that, would you?
No. Don't worry, Keith. If Keith Pelly's watching, you know, I might get banned before I even get on the grounds. I'm not going to pinch Tommy Tiger when Tommy Fleetwood's putting. But hopefully Shane Larrabee's so far clear. Doesn't matter what they shout. We can just be, you know, cheering on Big Shane all the way. Yeah.
And what are Nicola's expectation levels? Are they high, or are you dragging her kicking and screaming?
She's worried. I mean, she sees me in action on Sundays at home. You know, she's worried about things going wrong. I mean, even if Larry was 10 shots clear with 10 holes to play, she'd be telling me, don't get your hopes up. You know, she doesn't like it when I get my hopes up. Because she's seen my hopes up a lot in the last...
Your hopes do get up a lot, don't they? I text you sometimes. I'm like, blimey, this is going to be exciting. You're like, don't worry, home and hose. It's in the bag. I'm like, what?
The last few weeks, we've had so many players on the brink of victory and none of them have won. I try not to get my hopes up. But, yeah, I think we're going to have a good day if one of those four players wins, and we'll have an average day if one of the other 100.
You'll have a nice day, whatever happens. You'll be introducing your kids to golf. It'll be a nice outdoor day in the lovely countryside. I'm sure it'll be excellent.
Yeah. I'm hoping there'll be lots going on in the village. You know, they always have a little spectators village where there's all sorts of fun and games in there. I'm hoping Tommy can do a little bit of putting. Because if I just sort of plonk him down next to a green and said, right, we're going to sit here for 6 hours, that's not going to work. So
The last time I went to golf, Steve, was at the British Masters in a couple of years ago at Walton Heath. And they had a really nice setup for kids, inflatables and sort of little assault course, not proper assault course, it was like the army, but, you know, little tarpaulins you could crawl under and, you know, little sort of mini golf games. So I'm sure there'll be loads for the kids there.
And Grace likes her music. So if Feed her put on a good show, which I'm sure they will, then, we can't fail but to finish on a high.
No, it'll be good. And what price are you to be recognised by someone?
Oh, I don't know. My new wet look gel, probably.
I think you're odds on to be recognised. So,
Well, I hope not. If they've been following my tips the last few months, probably smash my face. I'd probably be lucky to survive.
But you'll be pleasantly surprised, and then you just turn to the missus and just say, just one of my fans there. Yeah, it should be good. Okay, well, listen, good luck with the tips. Good luck with the day out. I'm sure it'll be absolutely lovely. We said we'd have a little Ryder Cup chat. So,
oh, yes.
US are naming Captain Stricker's name. Well, I suppose the first thing we need to discuss is whether Brooks is going to be fit, because he smashed his arm into a tree root, didn't he? Not deliberately, but in the course of trying to propel the ball forward, and had to withdraw. So, I mean, if you're Stricker, in a way, that does take some of the kind of conflict issues that are looming out of the equation, doesn't it? Do you think there's a bit of Stricker that thinks, God, I hope he doesn't make it?
Yes. Yeah, I think he was secretly be thinking those thoughts, because there's a chance here for Steve Stricker now if he's bold enough. I don't think Cook is going to make it. I mean, these wrist injuries take ages to heal. You know, wrist injuries could rule you out for an entire season if they go wrong. And the fact that he pulled out in such a big money event, you know, there's a huge amount of money up for grabs. He did try to continue. It was on the 10th hole of round three. And he played for a couple more holes and then had to give up. So, you know,
do they get paid for being in the Ryder Cup?
No, it's highly likely to.
I mean, it's as much as he can do to deign to play in a non-major or WGC event when he's fit. So
yeah,
there's every chance he'll just sack it off. I mean, he got all the aggro of Bryson and that sort of noise. I'm not sure he'll fancy it, will he?
No, I think you're right. I think Koepka is odds on not to play. And Stricker obviously then can, you know, have Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau will have a spring in his step now. And I think if he's bold enough, as I say, he can leave Patrick Reed out. It's perfectly justified. You know, he's just come back from pneumonia. Last week, only seven players scored worse than Patrick Reed. You know, he's not going to get another chance to play before the Ryder Cup.
And he has six picks now, doesn't he?
He has six picks. Yeah, I think Tony Finau will go up into an automatic qualification spot if Cooper comes out. But I think I'd go for Daniel Berger, Webb Simpson, and leave Patrick Reed out, because then, you know, all his disharmony that he was worried about is gone if you take Koepka and Reed out.
Cantlay and Bryson aren't best mates, are they?
No, you still have that small issue. But Cantlay's going to play with Schauffele all four matches. I mean, you know, Cantlay and Schauffele are just going off on a little what mates trip together just before it starts.
I mean, if they're paired together, it won't finish. I mean, they're the two slowest golfers I've ever seen. I mean, if they go in the first match, it's going to be excruciating. Sorry, the top match, as one is obliged to call it. I'll tell you another thing. Talking of obliged to call things.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to calling it a stream, a pond, a river, a lake? Why is it the hazard? I almost swore there, but it really annoys me that. The penalty area. Just call it what it is. It's a body of water. Yeah. Anyway, never mind
that. Just call it H2O, and then that covers everything, doesn't it? But I think Phil Mickelson. I was last time we were on. I was talking about Phil Mickelson getting a pick. That's not going to happen now because he's since been announced as a vice captain. He's going to be there. He's one of the vice captains. So I think you've got Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau. Automatic qualifiers if Koepka's out. And then I think you're going to have Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth, Harris English, Daniel Berger, Webb Simpson, and then one other. For the picks.
Who might that be?
Well, I think Steve Stricker's got an enemy for life in Patrick Reed if you don't pick him. So yeah, Steve Stricker's such a nice guy, mate. He might just think, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to have a rubbish dressing room if I got him in. But then he's just going to send me angry emails every week if I don't. So he's got a difficult decision there. So it's really.
Who else is on the periphery of that?
I'd pick Billy Horschel because he's the world match. Yeah, he's the WGC match play champion.
He's got cojones, hasn't he?
He's got guys. He's got the. No one hates him. He's a bit gobby, but no one hates him. I think he could be a bit of a tub thumper, whatever that means. Mm. And he played well last week. So I'd pick Billy Horschel if I was Steve Stricker. But I think it's a real 50-50 on Reed. I think maybe Stricker might bottle it and pick him actually.
When you ran through who their team's likely to be, Stephen, we know 10 or 11 of them. I mean, it does sound a pretty formidable lineup, doesn't it? Is there any hope for Europe here?
Well, the Solheim Cup has given you all the hope you need. On paper, as Rory, I think Rory McIlroy was interviewed after Eastlake there and just said, on paper, the USA are favourites. But they don't play these matches on paper. Did you know?
No, they don't. I wish they did.
they just lay out lots of pieces of A4.
Yeah.
And then I think the Americans will win. But I mean, the European team is it's not bad, but it's a tough ask, isn't it? How much away support are we going to have? I don't want to fall into that trap again. Maybe having all the crowd on your side puts too much pressure on you. I don't know. But then a bit more decorum in the Solheim Cup. Whistling Straits, could be a bear pit, couldn't it? Nasty comments alert. Previous away matches for Europe, the nasty comments have reined in. John Rahm was asked in a press conference the other day, what's the nastiest thing anyone's ever said to you? Because obviously the Bryson DeChambeau saga with all the crowd weighing in. John Rahm was asked that and he said it's always Ryder Cup where you get the worst comments, So, I think home advantage will count for a lot. I think America will win the Ryder Cup, but I'll wait until I see the 12 against 12.
When is it? A couple of weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah. We're not long now. We've got one more week next week then. And then we've got two more weeks. Hang on a minute. Sorry, I've gone out of shot here.
I can see your shoulder. That's fine.
Yeah, we've got one more week next week and then it's Ryder Cup after that.
Oh, my goodness. What's on next week then?
You've got the... I like it over here. Much less pressure over here.
What is over? Can't you pick up whatever they're doing?
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. In front of you. Yes, yeah, my schedule. There we go.
I've got these things with arms now that you.
My arms get weaker every day. I try not to use them. Fortinet Championship, which was formerly the Safeway. So the PGA Tour takes a week off this week. They're back next week with the Fortinet Championship. I have no idea what Fortinet do. We'll have to look into that.
That sounds quite intriguing.
And then we also
probably an internet provider, isn't it?
Fortinet. There's a lot of them out there, isn't there? There's a lot of them out there. It's really taken off now, isn't it? The internet. The Dutch Open is the other one. We've got the Dutch Open, and then we've got the Ryder Cup, which we're trying to get excited about. I mean, when you get the teams actually announced, then
I'm very excited about it.
Oh, yeah, good.
I love a Ryder Cup.
I'm glad you're excited. I mean, if this season, this season started well and then it's been absolutely terrible since. If this season was going well and I had lots of ammunition, I think I'd be a bit more excited because, you're going to have to back a short price if you're backing on the outright, no matter who you play. But, I'll generate some excitement. Don't you worry about that.
Splendid stuff. Okay, mate, anything apart from Sunday, anything else to report coming up that's exciting you about life?
No, I'm really looking forward to Sunday. I think, as I say, it potentially could be a fantastic day. I'm going to try and stay level-headed. Make sure my children enjoy it. Because you hear
that's
all these...
the main thing.
Oh, yeah. That is the main thing. It's like Christmas, isn't it? Christmas, you're not supposed to... You know, I don't try and enjoy Christmas. As long as my children enjoy Christmas, I might try and approach the BMW PGA Championship like Christmas.
Well, if you're particularly with Tommy, who's obviously showing such promise, if you know, his memory, you know, journey's such a key formative part of his life, is of you lot driving back from Wentworth to Weymouth and, you know, under a massive cloud and, you know, you're skulking around the place, then that's not going to do him any good, is it? So you need to banish any negativity, mate.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm just imagining that now, because I was once at Wentworth and I was on Justin Rose in a double to win absolute fortune, like 250 grand or so. And I remember headbutting a tree at Wentworth because Justin Rose did a really, really bad shot and I headbutted a tree. I cannot recreate that sort of behavior.
No, you mustn't, mate.
Yeah, I was a single man in those days. You can get away with headbutting trees.
No,
but
you can't now. That would be ridiculous. Yeah, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Who wants to see their dad headbutt a tree, eh?
You've got to be very odd if you want to see that, haven't you?
You have, mate. On that note, thank you very much indeed, Steve. Enjoy yourself at Wentworth. I thought you have a lovely family day out. Good luck with the tips. We should reiterate them, shouldn't we, very quickly before?
Yeah, we should reiterate them because there's not many of them. Are you ready?
Yeah. I don't need to prepare.
Sorry, you normally like to say the name of the tournament and then I come in. So
No, that's fine. Okay, it's the BMW PGA Championship starting on Thursday. Get your bets in before you go to bed on Wednesday. And the four selections are...
Shane Lowry, Henrik Stenson, Richard Blandy Bland, and Eduardo Dodo Molinari.
Okay, Steve. And remember, whatever happens, you'll wake up on Monday healthy and with the love of your family around you. So that's the key thing.
God willing.
All right, mate. See you next week for another sweet spot.